I've got a t-shirt, a yellow t-shirt.
They're black, actually, with white writing.
And on my yellow t-shirt, there's a great big me!
No, it's an IOT, not a ME, no.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
Hey, come on. Did you see these?
No. Oh, those are some of your shirts.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and we finally have a way for you to order those Infants on Thrones t-shirts you've been waiting for.
It's great. It's really great, yeah.
So we're going to be plugging these things like crazy over the next few days.
Yeah. Are you going to get one?
I guess so.
Because we're kind of running out of time to get the orders in.
Are you going to encourage everyone else to get one?
Am I?
Are you?
I don't know.
Here, have a seat.
Where am I going to have a seat?
Right here.
What's going on here?
Huh? Oh, just sit down.
Is something being recorded?
What? Me?
Now, we'll be taking your orders online at our website, infantsonthrones.com, starting today, July 13th, and ending at midnight on Monday, July 18th. So go to our website. You'll see up at the top of the page, there's a tab that says T-shirts. You'll go there, you'll click on a link, you'll follow all of the instructions. Don't forget to also go to PayPal. You'll be paying for it through PayPal. PayPal will send you a receipt, and then you'll use that receipt to pick it up at Sunstone.
Hi. Just have a seat. Oh, brother.
I don't trust you.
Why?
Because I don't know what you're doing.
But wait, there's more. We don't just have t-shirts for you. We also have mugs. Glass mugs. Big glass mugs. For anything you want to drink out of a big glass mug. Those are also available for purchase. So go to the website and check them out.
I'm recording a promo because we need to publicize that there are shirts available on our website to pre-purchase.
Okay.
So I just, in putting that out, I want to have like a little reason to listen besides that. So how about a quick interview with my mom?
Now, if you are not going to be able to go to Sunstone, or you don't have somebody who can pick them up for you at Sunstone, we will ship them to you, but it'll take a little bit more time to do that. But again, just fill out the form, send us your address, and add $5 extra for shipping and handling. The shirts themselves are $20 each. There's men's version with the crew neck, women's version with a V-neck. You'll see pictures on the ordering page on our website. So go there. Remember, you only have until July 18th to get these orders in. So, hey, Mom, what should they be doing?
Hurry.
Exactly. And now, for a little mini-sode treat, how about listening to me talk to my mom for a bit about her faith crisis and some sage advice that she has for listeners of Infants on Thrones? Take it away, Mom.
You gotta get closer to the mic when you're laughing at it.
Is it turned on?
It is. It's look, right here. See?
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Mom. So you are a listener of Infants on Thrones.
I do.
And you're my mom.
I'm your mom, and I listen to Infants on Thrones.
What do you think about it? Like, for real, you can be honest. I know that Randy's not your favorite.
Oh, that's not true. I don't just...
Ow! Ow!
What?
Okay. Oh, so Matt's not your favorite?
You're my favorite.
Yeah. Well.
And I enjoy hearing the other ones, too, and I particularly have been happy that Heather's on.
Yeah.
I enjoy her, too.
Okay. So, when did you lose your faith in the Mormon Church?
When I finally asked the question, what if it isn't true? After I'd done a whole lot of research for several years.
And, like, seriously, though, how hard was it to get to that place where you could even ask that question?
Really, really hard.
Yeah. Because I remember giving you books or, like, recommending books to you, and you're like, I don't want to read them because I don't want to have any questions. You remember that?
Yeah, and I've never taken your cred test before, but...
It's not mine, it's Bob's.
Oh, excuse me. Bob, I've never taken your cred test before, but I I'm sure I would rate up there very high for a woman. I obviously didn't hold the priesthood.
You didn't go on a mission.
I did a stake mission.
Mm. All right.
I always counted that.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And what was the hardest thing? Or is it still hard? Or
it's not still hard because there's nothing... Once I let go of the whole authority idea, it just lost any hold on me.
What do you mean by the authority?
Well, I really did believe that the general authorities were in communication with... I mean, it makes me feel silly to say this now, but they were in communication with the Savior.
Yeah.
And that was happening. And so I was willing to put up with a lot of stuff that bothered me if I believed it was true. I mean, I know a lot of women do well in the Mormon community. I did not do super well in the Mormon community.
You're a stake missionary.
That's true.
I count that.
Yeah. But that part, I had to be in the church in spite of sometimes.
Mm.
Because the culture drove me crazy. But yeah. So once the authority wasn't there, that there really wasn't a priesthood, that there really wasn't this stuff, and it just went away.
Was there like a moment when that kind of clicked and you realized that, or how did it happen that the authority dropped away?
Well, I mean, I've told you this before, but it was that Pullman talk that really got to me. That when I read that and I studied it, and the dishonesty, when we are required to be so honest, and yet we weren't being treated honestly.
Yeah. So that was the talk in General Conference in 1984, and the original version of the talk where he was mentioning a difference between the gospel and the church, you really liked.
I really liked. I actually remembered when the talk was given because I had had challenges with the culture and the gospel. And so I thought, okay, this explains it. This is great.
Yeah.
And of course, there wasn't access to that then for a really long time. And then when it came up again after...
Because you didn't know that
I didn't know it had been redacted.
It had been redacted and re-recorded and all that stuff until you heard that on a podcast.
Right.
And did you, like, what was your response to it when you first heard it? Did you think, that can't be right?
No, I didn't think that.
What did you think?
I thought, oh my goodness, we have been being lied to.
Yeah.
I still feel emotional about that.
Yeah.
It's hard. Because what I had believed for my whole life wasn't what it was. And it just was... You know, like all those shows, like The Truman Show or something like that, that you live in a fantasy, live in a bubble. And there was a lot that was really good for me. I mean, I will say that. I have friends who really struggled with women's place in the church. And for some reason, I put that in a separate category and decided that it was just stupid. And
what was just stupid?
The idea that men were better because they held the priesthood. I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
And I came from a very male-centric family, and I didn't believe that. So for some reason, that just never was a big place for me.
But it wasn't enough to...
No.
Make
it wasn't enough
drop
to make
it.
Me... No.
No.
No, I had a...
Because you thought that it was really Jesus...
Yeah.
Telling the apostles that this is how it needs to be.
Yeah.
For what reason? Why was Jesus doing that?
Just that I figured there were a whole lot of things on earth that we didn't understand. And that everything would be fine afterwards.
Was it a test? Were you being tested?
I never liked the idea of it being a test because I thought I didn't get to study for it. And so it wasn't that kind of a test. It was more like a chemical test of putting two chemicals together and see what it turns into. And that's how I always thought of the idea of the testing. But I just thought, you know, we were having an experience here, and it happened to be that this is how it was right now. And my life was pretty good, so I was okay with it. And with all the things that seemed like they could be problematic, I just found a place to put them, and I didn't have the term shelf. I just found a nice way to rationalize around it, which is the same thing. And there was enough that was good.
So there will probably be about 8,000, maybe 10,000 people who listen to this.
Hi, guys.
What do you want them to know? What advice, what sage advice do you have?
I don't know that I have any
for
sage
our listeners.
Advice. As I have gone through this process, I have observed and listened to so many different people, and I noticed that it's different for everybody. The reasons that people let go of the church are different for everybody, and the reasons that they stay are different. I went through my stages of grief, and it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through. I mean, I've been through divorce. I've lost a two-week-old baby. I've had many, many things that were really problematic in my life. And this was the hardest, because this was the foundation that I felt like had carried me through all of that. Uh-huh. And I was willing to be okay with the tribulations in life because I trusted. And when leaders were less than optimal toward me, I just decided they were people, and people could be people however they needed to be. So that wasn't really an issue for me. I know it is for some people, and that's okay. And I am kind of okay with how all of this is now. I am fine that most of my extended family are very much invested in the church. And I feel fortunate because I haven't been treated poorly by anybody. In fact, if anything, I've been given more attention, so they're probably doing the love bombing. But it's kind of nice to be love bombed, so I don't care.
Yeah.
So, wise words. I'm a believer in love, and I'm a believer in kindness and acceptance. And I've heard many people on this and other podcasts talk about that they have a greater acceptance for differences now, and I definitely see that in my life. I don't know that I always act a lot different, but I'm working on that. I appreciate that people can have a lot of different ways of looking at life, and I like that that feels free. I'm really fortunate that my husband, David, is in the same place with me.
Yeah.
And I feel so sorry for people who have to deal with the difference, especially the way the church has framed it with the triangle, and that Jesus is at the top and the couple is kind of nothing without that piece. And somebody that really believed that doesn't have the strength, typically, a relationship to, you know, hang on without that. I'm not saying they can't build it. Certainly they can. But there are so many things. The history is only one part of it. I feel like the fear, and you guys have talked about that, but I feel like the fear has been the biggest part.
The fear-mongering and the messages of there's a problem and we've got the solution. The kind of oil salesman.
Yeah, all of that. I remember the last state conference I went to, Russell Ballard was there speaking, and he...
Russell M. Ballard.
Oh, excuse me. Elder Russell M. Bell.
Elder Russell M. Bell.
Was speaking, and he kept talking about, hurry, 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 hurry. And I'm thinking, I work with people all the time in my coaching practice, and I see women with all kinds of anxiety, and all he was doing was creating anxiety because he was wanting us to hurry, do more, do more. You're not doing enough. And all the way through his talk, it stopped several times going, hurry, 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 hurry. And as somebody who believes that... that he is getting his information from the Savior, oh my gosh, they can't even enjoy their life. They have to be hurry, hurry, hurrying and full of anxiety. I really was angry at that. Now the mountains are fabulous.
The mountains?
The mountains.
Instead of going to church on Sunday, you hike.
We hike, right. Sit by the water, and we read something that inspires us. We love it.
Yeah.
Or ride bikes or golf. It's great. And it's great not to wear garments.
Yeah.
I love it.
And to have a 10% pay increase.
Yeah, all that.
The extra day of the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me some money to fly and visit you.
Yeah. Or drive.
Or drive.
Yeah. Okay. So, listeners, do any of you have any questions for my mom?
Mom's got a t-shirt, a big purple t-shirt, and on her purple t-shirt, there's a great
big... Hi, this is Debbie from South Jordan, Utah. I've listened to Infants on Thrones since the first episode, mostly to hear Glenn.
Yeah.
I'm a true fan. Oh. I enjoy his quick wit, kind heart, and brilliant mind.
Well.
And that I haven't had to change his diapers for a very long time.
Despite all the shit.
My lived experience?
Yeah.
I'm his mom. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com. And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did.
Did you really?
Anyone for the closing prayer?
But did you really, though?
Not yet, but I'm waiting for it.
Come on.
But is there anything else, like, from having watched Infants on Thrones from the beginning? I mean, being aware of me, being aware of what this podcast is, and from your perspective, friends of yours that have listened to it, like, what do you see? Is this? I just want you to tell me that I'm awesome, Mom. I'm just looking for validation here.
You already know I'm. You already know I think you're awesome.
Okay. All right. We can stop the podcast now. I got the validation from my mom. I started this in the first place.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.